Can get caught in potentially deadly rip currents. Next at 6 o'clock, we'll show you a new technology that can predict rip currents and hopefully save lives. WREL News at 6 starts right now.
Now, breaking news from WREL. Coverage you can count on.
And right now at 6, we have new information about a number of breaking stories. Hello, I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm David Crabtree, and we begin with the search for a man police are calling armed and dangerous. Sky 5 over the search right now. It's going on in Wake Forest. Police are looking for a man who has a knife who they say ran from them along the 600 block of Durham Road. He is either shirtless or wearing a white tank top and black shorts. Again, the suspect is armed with a knife. Residents are asked not to approach him yet. If you see him, to call 911.
Moving now to the scene of a shooting in Durham, the WREL Breaking News Tracker and Sky 5 showed you the response on Cherry Grove Street. One man was shot and taken to the hospital. Police say there was a car crash associated with the shooting. WREL is working to put the pieces together and find that connection.
And crowds are gathering right now at the state legislative building as Moral Monday makes a return. It's part of a national movement tonight to protest racism and injustices. WREL's Aaron Thomas joining us live from Halifax Mall with a look at the crowd that is gathering. Aaron?
Yeah, David, you can actually hear and see that it is a lively crowd out here at Halifax Mall. These folks are holding signs and they're also singing different messages. Demonstrators are seeking what's called a third reconstruction. They want to see Congress address poverty and low wages from the bottom up. Now, this rally includes low-wage workers, community activists, and faith leaders. The group is expected to hear a message from President Biden within the next 30 minutes. Some of the issues important to demonstrators out here include better wages for workers, fair housing, and better health care. We spoke with the bishop of a Raleigh church who hopes to make the list of demands a reality.
No matter what ethnic state you are in, you know, it is your right, you know, to be able to have the same equal rights that everybody else out here. You know, it is your right, you know, to be able to have the opportunities that everybody should have here and not be judged because of your social status.
Here's another look at this lively crowd. It appears that Reverend William Barber just took the stage right now. One of the songs they were singing out here is We Know Justice Is Coming Soon. This gathering is set to end around 7 tonight. Advocates plan to continue this work for an entire year. They say their goal is to hold different events and keep up this work every single day and hold a big nationwide march around this time next year in Washington, D.C. Back to you.
Aaron Thomas reporting live on the Halifax Mall. Aaron, thank you. And state Senate Republicans unveil their $25.7 billion budget today. They want deeper tax cuts than reported earlier this month. Their new plan would cut the income tax rate from the current 5.2% to just 3.9% over the next few years. The budget surplus is the largest ever, nearly at $7 billion. Senate Leader Phil Berger said that means people are paying too much in taxes.
When the government taxes too much, we have a duty to either return it to the people or to for a refund or cut the rate of taxes. That's what we're doing here.
Meantime, teachers and state employees would get a raise of 1.5% for each of the next 2 years. Retirees would see no increase. Berger says that's all the state can afford under the GOP spending cap.
I'm Joe Fisher in the WREL Live Center with brand new images just released by Raleigh police in the past half hour of persons of interest tied to a shooting at Roberts Park over the weekend. This was a Juneteenth celebration. You are looking right now at some of these images just released. Several persons of interest here, at least four or five of them from different angles, including that one that you see of that person in a white shirt holding up that gun. A paramedic was actually injured in this shooting. Saturday night, right around 6:45 at night, an ambulance was also hit. We do know that that paramedic was treated and released from the hospital. Back out here in the Live Center, you are looking at these images that really show what was, according to the evidence markers on the ground, dozens of shots were fired. So we're working to get some more information here. These new images just released by Raleigh police. If you happen to know any of them, you're asked to call police right away.
All right, Joe, thank you. And we could see severe storms in the middle of your workday tomorrow. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a closer look at that timing. Mike?
That's right, Deb, and it's all coming from this system to our north and west, and there's a lot of severe weather activity. Numerous severe thunderstorm warnings, severe thunderstorm watches all the way up in New England. This front approaches the area during the day tomorrow, and we're under a level one threat as of right now for the day tomorrow. Damaging winds are possible with this, along with heavy rainfall. And since a lot of us got soaking rain yesterday, there could be some minor flooding taking place during the day tomorrow. Future cast shows all quiet in the morning. By lunchtime, the activity begins to bubble up. So when you join Amy Wilmoth at noontime tomorrow, she'll be showing you the radar and will likely start to become active. But I think the greatest time period for activity would be from 3 o'clock till about 7 o'clock in the evening. That's the time frame where we have that 70% chance for showers and storms. And again, some of those could be severe. This threat, Deb, will not last into the overnight tomorrow. It will bring some much needed rain to some folks who didn't see any tomorrow. We'll outline how much rain could fall coming up.
What a potent system on the way. Thank you, Mike. Well, this is a good time to make sure you have the latest version of the WRAL weather app on your phone. Check for the updated forecast at any hour and receive weather alerts for your location based on your GPS.
The Police Oversight Board in Durham is meeting right now about an incident last year in which officers pulled guns on children playing tag. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger was in the courtroom for the last-minute legal attempt to stop this hearing. Sarah joins us now from a very windy downtown Durham. Sarah.
Very windy indeed. I hope you can hear me all right. But last week, I did this story right here that the Civilian Police Review Board was looking into this case. Well, the officer's attorney took issue with some of the things that the board's chair said in that story. So today, he filed this lawsuit right here at the courthouse.
Attorney Daniel Meyer filed this lawsuit on behalf of four police officer clients, taking issue with Civilian Police Review Board Chair DeWarren Langley speaking to me for a story last week, claiming that doing so violates the board's policy of confidentiality. There was a court hearing this afternoon to try to stop the board's upcoming meeting on this until the lawsuit could fully play out. The city's attorney, Anna Davis, argued Langley did not violate any laws. The judge sided with her, which allows tonight's meeting to go on as planned.
Our main concern is the board is supposed to be fair. It's supposed to be, they're supposed to be independent actors.
Meyer primarily takes issue with Langley telling me this.
Seeing the video footage and hearing the testimony, it was very concerning.
Based on what he said, it sounds like he may already have a predetermined outcome in mind.
The case in question involves an incident WRAL was the first to report on in August 2020, when police drew guns on kids playing tag, placing one of them in handcuffs, later telling us he matched the description of a suspect in the area. An internal investigation found no significant wrongdoing on the part of the officers. The review board is now looking into whether that investigation and its findings were sound. It plans to release its conclusions to the city manager later this week.
And I spoke briefly by phone today before the court hearing with DeWarren Langley, and he told me that he stands by his actions and he stands by everything he told me and feels that he was within his rights to do so. Now, it's important to note that although the judge did side with the city today, this lawsuit filed by the attorney on behalf of the police officers, this will continue as well. David.
Sarah Kruger, live in Durham. Thanks.
We received our monthly snapshot of the state of jobs in the tech sector in North Carolina. Take a look at this. Nearly 37,000 IT jobs were available in the state last month. That's down from a high of 40,000 in March as the economy started to reopen. It's still a 60% increase compared to May of 2020. IT project managers and system managers have seen the most growth year over year. The tech industry isn't the only one hiring. WRAL TechWire reports as many as 55,000 jobs are open in the Triangle right now. In Wake County, the employers with the most openings openings are Wake County Schools, Wake Med, and the UNC Healthcare System. Duke University tops the list in Durham County. To read more about the openings and where to search them, check out WRL Tech Wire. North Carolina's hot job market is probably one of the reasons people are moving to the state in droves. Today, we're getting a look at where they lived before coming here. The Carolina Demography Center says nearly 361,000 people moved into North Carolina in 2019. The top five states they called home before moving here: Virginia, Florida, South Carolina, New York, and Georgia.
Get ready to see more state troopers along I-95. The Highway Patrol is joining an effort to cut down on the number of deadly accidents involving commercial vehicles, such as large trucks or buses. 13% of those deaths nationwide happen on 95 in the southeast. Law enforcement will be watching commercial and regular drivers. The first of three enforcement periods this summer begins tomorrow. Wake County parents have a bit more time to enroll their child into a free pre-K program for the upcoming school year. The deadline now extended to June 30th. Students qualify based on academic need, so children must participate in a brief development screening to determine eligibility. And we can't remind you of this enough, so we do it every year, several times a year. Never underestimate the power of rip currents.
The lifeguards refer to these as drowning machines.
Ahead in a story you'll only see on WREL, meteorologist Kat Campbell shows a new technology that could save lives by improving the accuracy of rip current predictions. And coming up in sports, we'll hear from a local man who will represent Team USA in Tokyo.
Ahead for us, the unexpected surge in air travel catching airlines off guard, why your next trip may be delayed or rescheduled. Also, rising retirements and resignations, why more police officers are leaving the job, when we see you back here tonight.
Take a look at this. The Outer Banks of North Carolina, just so beautiful. However, never let this beauty lull you into a false sense of security. Beneath the waves, swimmers can be caught off guard by rip currents, and now the National Weather Service has new technology to help more accurately predict rip tides along our coast. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is here to explain how this new model could actually save lives. Kat?
Well, David, new data released from the National Weather Service office in Wilmington shows the hometown of everyone who's died in a rip current in the Carolinas since the year 2000. 80% of those people didn't live at the coast, and 48% were from the Carolinas. Unfortunately, as you can see, several right here in the Triangle. These lives lost remind us why this new technology is so important.
The rip currents are the number one weather-related hazard that we face. The lifeguards refer to these as drowning machines.
I spoke with Stephen Paff from the National Weather Service in Wilmington about a new rip current model released this year that he hopes will save lives.
Now you actually have a model that's looking at water levels and wave information and is customized for the coasts of North Carolina. I really think it's a game changer part of our toolbox.
Up until now, rip current forecasts were only available for the next day. Now, longer 6-day forecasts are available.
So just imagine you're someone with beach services or a lifeguard group, and you can better plan for when we see these probabilities start to increase.
Not only are longer range forecasts available, but they are more precise, with 3 hourly rip current risk forecasts on a scale of 1 to 100. Paff tells me most of North Carolina rip current deaths occur between the hours of noon and 5 p.m., but rip currents are possible all hours of the day. This new data will allow us to pinpoint when and where the highest risks are each day.
We can now look at beach by beach what the probabilities are for rip currents versus just a countywide composite of the forecast.
The new rip current model is the biggest improvement to rip current forecasting that we have seen in decades. The National Weather Service recently taught local lifeguards and ocean rescue groups they work with daily about the updates. Everyone is optimistic that improved forecasting techniques combined with continued outreach programs will help save lives.
We feel that the output we get from it can help save lives. It's that important of a tool in our toolbox.
The bottom line here is that the rip current forecast maps that we show you on WRAL, like the one you see here and the flags flying at the beach this summer, will be more accurate. And on some high-risk days, we will be able to tell you the specific hours with the highest risk for rip currents. You can always find the rip current forecast maps on WRAL.com, as well as a link to this story. David.
Fascinating and welcome technology. Kat, thank you. So would you know what to do if you're caught in a rip current? Back in 2019, these lifeguards provided us with a demonstration. Take a look at this, of how to escape a rip current should you be caught by one. We have linked that demonstration to this story on WREL.com and the WREL app.
Always good information to have. Well, while we're talking about the beach, we want to show you something we noticed earlier today that is simply striking. This is video of Wrightsville Beach. This was recorded right around noon today. A very busy place on the weekends, but virtually empty today. Well, compare that to what we found about 85 miles down the coast. This is Myrtle Beach. This also recorded right around noon today. What a difference, right? Packed with people here, not so much here. Tense crowds. Looks like a great time, but Mike is back with us now. Mike, I think I'd choose the Wrightsville Beach image and have a little more space to lay out on the sand.
And that was probably the case because Claudette was moving by this morning and it was in the forecast to have rain. And people thought, I'm not going to go to the beach today because we have Claudette being around. But that changed this afternoon. It brightened up really fast. And of course, a lot of humid air left in the wake of Claudette. If you have access to a pool this evening, it'd be nice to cool down there. 89 right now is the current temperature at the airport, 88 at 7 o'clock. And by 8 o'clock, 86, those heat index values probably still in the low 90s through the evening. So try to remain cool. We do have relief on the way. Now, recall just about a month ago, we were talking about the driest spring on record. Well, now we're the fifth wettest June to date out at RDU. 9 of the last 21 days have seen rain, 3.75 inches of rain above normal. And there is more rain yet to come. Yesterday, RDU had 1.45. I had 1.5 in my rain gauge in Apex. June so far, 6.5. I know a lot of folks yesterday, especially in our northern counties, had folks on Facebook chiming in up in Roxborough saying, hey, we didn't see a whole lot of rain. We need it. Well, you have an opportunity tomorrow because of this system. We talked about it at the top of the newscast. It is a cold front. It has a lot of rain with it. Thunderstorms that are going to be severe. There are severe along the front right now. And there is Claudette moving away. Top winds are at 45, and it won't be an issue for us. But as Kat showed you, there's still rip current threats today at the coast and probably will be the case again tomorrow. So let's check out how much rain could fall over the next 2 days due to the front approaching the area. Up to southern Virginia and our northern counties, we're talking about an inch to an inch and a half. So over Roxborough, over toward Oxford and Henderson and Warrenton and Roanoke Rapids, you have that potential for an inch to an inch and a half of rain. So maybe you'll get your rain tomorrow. Southern counties, an inch and a half to 2 inches of rain, and down east toward the coast for New Bern, getting over to the Outer Banks, about an inch and a half to 2.5 inches of rain possible with that front coming in tomorrow. Now, we do have healthy rain probabilities in the forecast for the next couple of weeks. Here's the precipitation outlook from the 29th through the first week of July, and it still has us in a greater than 40% chance of above normal precipitation. That's what that light green shading is. The darker green is a greater than 50% chance, and temperatures during that same time period below normal. We have a greater than 50% chance of below normal temperatures. It's not going to be cool air. It's going to be not quite as warm because we have rain in the area, at least scattered showers and storms. So our highs are likely to remain in the 80s during this time period, whereas out west will likely still be very hot. Big heat ridge has been setting up shop out west. So for us tonight, very warm, very muggy, should remain dry. 73 in Raleigh, 75 Fayetteville, 71 at South Hill. And then tomorrow, scattered showers and storms are likely. It's about a 70% chance, 83 in Raleigh, 85 at Fayetteville. Now, once the front clears the area, tomorrow and Thursday feel great. 79, partly to mostly cloudy on Wednesday, 81 on Thursday. Morning lows, upper 50s to about 60 on Thursday. And then Deb, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, still a chance for storms, but staying in the 80s.
Looks like a nice break. All right, Mike, thank you. Well, some dreams are coming true, and Chris Lee is here to tell us about them. Hey, Chris.
Absolutely. And you're wearing the right colors for this particular story, Aggie, and you're wearing the yellow. A Triangle native can now call himself an Olympian, and he ended up being a Father's Day gift that can never be topped. That plus NC State will continue their journey to the College Baseball World Series tonight. What they must do to continue their momentum in Omaha. That's next in sports. All right, at 7 o'clock on the dot, Don't be in your drop top cruising the streets. Be in front of the TV. WRL at 7 o'clock is a great choice, but I'm referring to our NC State Wolfpack baseball team. The Pack is taking on number 4 Vanderbilt in the College Baseball World Series. That shouldn't be too tall of a task, seeing as that they've already beaten number 1 Arkansas and number 9 Stanford to get to this point. This team is absolutely on a roll. 99.9 Defense Joe Giglio outlines what they must do to continue their magical run.
Particularly against Vanderbilt, particularly against Jack Leiter, you want to stay on schedule. You want to stay right-handed. You don't want to get behind, and you don't want to have to get into scramble mode. They had to win game one. They took care of business in game one. They stayed on schedule, and I think that's the biggest key. Stay on schedule, get to Leiter early, and see if you can hold on with that great bullpen. That's been a winning formula for NC State the last two games.
The Pack will take on number 4 Vanderbilt at 7 o'clock. We'll have highlights tonight at 10 and 11. You can't call him the underdog when he's the top dog heading into the Olympics. Garner High School alum Randolph Ross Jr. is heading to Tokyo as a second-generation Olympic track runner. His dad and his coach at North Carolina A&T, Randolph Dwayne Ross Sr., competed in Greece in 2004. Now his son will be an Olympian, qualifying on Father's Day, a gift that he says can't be topped.
Yesterday morning, I got a text from him. It said, Happy Father's Day, Dad. Now let's go make this let's go make this Tokyo trip. And I looked at my assistant coach. I was like, "Hey, man, this kid is about to make this team."
It's just something that a lot of people just can't give. So I was happy that I was able to not only make the team on Father's Day, but just make the team in general and continue the legacy we have with his family.
This news was expected, but certainly great news for Tar Heels fans to see that it's official. Armando Bacot says he's going to, quote, run it back. That means he's returning to Chapel Hill for his junior season, as he announced on social media around 5 o'clock today. In early April, he decided to enter the NBA draft process to test the waters. He never hired an agent, so he retains his college eligibility. Great news for a Tar Heels team that lost 5 of their 6 big men from last season due to transfer or NBA draft. That is the one that is returning, Armando Bacot. Yeah. Great news for them, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Fans will definitely be excited. Thank you, Chris.
And thank you for joining us. NBC Nightly News is up next with a closer look at some of the reasons more police officers are leaving the force.
Then stay with us for our news at 7 o'clock. Travis Fain takes a detailed look at the COVID relief funds that have come into North Carolina and puts the numbers into perspective. We'll see you then. Good night.